Hello, and welcome to the Female Founder Friday podcast with me, Lindsay White. I'm passionate about helping female entrepreneurs be great leaders, build high-performing teams, and create inspiring workplace cultures through innovative talent programs and practices. Because when people feel like they belong at work, they deliver their very best and businesses thrive. The Female Founder Friday podcast is all about connecting with the most incredible female entrepreneurs to talk about their journey to creating their own business, the mistakes they've made along the way, and how they view their own leadership. And I'm challenging all of my guests this season to take my leadership style quiz, and during each episode, we'll be digging into their leadership style and how it impacts the way they lead in their life and their business. And if you're interested in learning more about your leadership style and want some of my top tips to help you lead more effectively, you can take the quiz right now. Just check out the show notes or head over to highvoltageleadership.ca and click on the button at the top of the page that says take the quiz. Then you can share your results, connect with my guests, and join the conversation on Instagram by following me at High Volt Leadership. I've got such a great guest for you this week. It is my friend, Kara Duffy. I'm absolutely obsessed with this chick. Not only is she the founder of Kara Duffy Coaching and Consulting, which she is ridiculously powerful, she is also the founder of Powerful Ladies and the host of the Powerful Ladies podcast, where I have actually been lucky to be a guest. She is also the founder and co-founder of so many other amazing things that I don't even have time to list for you today. But it is her incredibly thoughtful approach to everything that she does that makes her so compelling, so powerful, and just such an interesting guest for us here today. I'm so glad I get to share this conversation with you. All right. I have my friend Kara Duffy here today, and I'm super excited. We always have the most incredible conversations. So thank you for joining me on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I've already been on your podcast. You also invited me to talk on one of the most incredible roundtables for International Women's Day this year, which I thoroughly enjoyed. You moderated so beautifully. So I was excited for this chat today. And I know a little bit about your journey to being a female founder, but I'm excited to get into that a little bit more with you. So tell us about that.
Sure. So I worked in footwear and apparel for 20 years. And I loved it. I worked for some really big companies. I got to travel the world and live abroad. I got to, you know, make really fun products and hang out with very cool people. And I was doing great in that environment. And I was getting bored. I was going up the corporate ladder. And I'm like, I am meant for more. Like, I don't know if more is here. I think more is involving other skills that I'm not tapping into in this environment.
Yeah.
And so I started taking a lot of leadership development training, different coaching programs, and I never thought of myself ever as a coach. I knew that I could consult at some point because a lot of people in that environment did when they left, but I was in a coaching program and hearing all these people who had these amazing ideas to change the world, and none of them knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And I had a light bulb moment going, oh my gosh, like I know how to start and run all of your ideas. Like, what if my life was just dedicated to helping people bring their dream life or business or a way to earn a living to existence? Because it's so obvious to me. And if you know what you want to do and what you love, then this is just a really simple formula of mindset and structures, and you can be off to the races. So I started doing that. I first started coaching nonprofits, and then I started moving into for-profit. And at the same time that I was launching my for-profit coaching business, I also started another business called Powerful Ladies, which is where we've had the podcast that you've been on and that we had the workshop on for International Women's Day. And they were very tangential to each other, so it worked out really nice. But next thing I knew, I was running Powerful Ladies full-time and coaching people full-time. And I think like many coaches, it started only life coaching for some people and only business coaching for others and only financial coaching for a third group. But especially for people who are running, you know, medium, small, or micro businesses, We need all those things all the time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of got to where I am today, which is coaching people at all different stages of business to really have freedom and ease in addition to abundance. And I joke sometimes that I con Mari people's businesses so we can get back to the core of what matters, because we need to get rid of so much stuff that we've thought we need or should be doing. And we definitely don't. I'm sure that 80% of our to-do lists, we don't actually have to do.
I love it. I love, totally forgot about that. The con of the business. I love that so much, because I think that that is really true. We want to, you know, as female founders, as entrepreneurs, we've got so much passion, so much energy and drive, and we want to do all the things. Yes. And I think you're right. We end up doing a lot of things we absolutely have no business doing. And we struggle to let them go because perhaps we put a lot of time or effort into them, or we have made connections and relationships with them. And right? Like, that can be tricky.
Well, and there's so much visibility now about how other people are succeeding with their businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think what everyone forgets, like, we think that there's a right way to run a business.
Yes.
And the only right way to run a business is in a way that's sustainable for you and the life you want and the clients you want to serve. And it has to really be customized. Like, I don't think people are giving bad business advice out in the interweb, but it's never advice that is in the context of how does this work for you and do you even need it? And so I'll have clients who come to me and they're like, I need a Twitter strategy, or I need this. And I'm like, we don't even know what your product is yet.
We don't know what you're selling.
Yeah. Like, we don't need those things. And, you know, it's often hard to tell people that, like, your business, like, we have to plant seeds for your business to grow and your audience to grow. So are you in this for the long haul, or are you looking for one of these magical overnight $1 million businesses? Because that doesn't exist.
Thank you for saying that out loud, because I find it frustrating. I find it infuriating. All of this horseshit. I'm going to call it what it is. It's horseshit.
Yeah.
I built a $1 million business in 6 months. I know someone who did that. She had $1 million in revenue and she spent $950,000 of it on advertising.
Right.
So she ended up broke.
Yep.
So when you see that, I always say anybody can rent a Lamborghini for a photo shoot. Like, those pictures of that coach with the $100 bills in her hand, leaning against the Lamborghini with fancy shoes on, that is all an illusion. And it was done for a 3-hour photo shoot one afternoon.
Yeah. And even other people who have, like, launched a course and made $1 million in a month or in a weekend, that wasn't their first online course. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it by themselves. Like, this is why, like, you hire coaches and consultants to help you skip the steps that you don't need to do to save time, to get you there faster. So the person who had a $1 million online course launch, they have a huge team. They have all the right people. They're not doing it themselves. They've done so much prep and extras. Like, they might have worked on that course just marketing it for 6 months.
And they have an instructional designer who actually put it together. And they have an expert at gamification who actually knows how to keep it. Like, let's be clear. They have experts they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to every year to help them make that $1 million launch.
Yes. Yes. And I think the $1 million goal is a silly goal for a lot of small and micro businesses to have on day one. Like, definitely put it on your vision board. In fact, let's make it like 10 million or even $1 billion. If you're going to go big.
Yeah.
Go big. Because getting to $1 million isn't hard. It's just not overnight. And you're really going to get challenged along the way about what are you willing to give up to get there. And I'm not talking about, like, sacrificing your family or your health to get there, but you're going to be constantly confronted with left or right, left or right. And I don't, and that's why I think having a guide matters so much in the business space, because I have to have one. If I'm left to my own devices, it's like, I'll be great. And I'll get caught in a whirlpool and stuck there.
Me too. Yep. 100%. Yeah. I usually have more than one coach going at any given time. I have a coach to coach me about the shit that's going sideways in my own personal life.
Yep.
And then I have a coach that really helps me in my business.
Yep.
And on my business.
Yeah. And like, as your business evolves, you need different experts to come in. Like, when we talk about the teams we have to build, yeah, you can technically have a company that has no employees, but you can't have no team members.
Beautifully articulated.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, speaking directly to my soul, right? Yes, they don't have to be employees, but they're valuable. They add incredible, valuable time and effort and brain power to your organization. And so they absolutely are part of your team. And if you don't value them as such, they're an asset that will leave you pretty quickly, no matter how you employ them.
Yes. Yes. Even if they are a mentor that you beg to have coffee with you, like once a quarter, like they have to be, like, honoring them as a critical, you know, piece of your business machine matters so much.
Or they won't give you any more of their time.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Yeah.
No, so I love it. Besides,
you know, the bells and whistles that you see, especially on Instagram lately for your business, I think the other big lie is like the idea of self-made anything. Like, I don't want to take away from the fact that you have worked so hard yourself, but I don't know, like, I can't even think of a job that could legitimately be called self-made. Because a human can't.
No, because we need help from so many places as female founders. Like, just for starters, our families.
Yes.
You know, our partners, our parents, our children, if we have them, but maybe it's our friends. Like, our closest personal connections absolutely help us bootstrap in our businesses. If nothing else, it's late night Friday wine with a girlfriend because the big sale fell through, or you didn't get that proposal, you know, didn't land the way you want, right? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Or you're crushing it and you didn't realize it caught up with you and you just need to cry about being successful. And now what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's next? Because our saboteur takes over and it's never good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think, you know, and then we think about all the coaches, the mentors, the experts, the consultants, that we leverage in order to build our businesses. And then those people that we contract with in some way, again, whether it's the VA, that's a contractor, the digital designer, that's a consultant to us. Like, yeah, it takes a village to raise a business.
It really does. it really does.
It really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that you really embraced that this lifestyle, because that's really what it is for you.
I honestly think that's one of the core elements of my coaching styles and approach to business. Like, it has to work with the lifestyle first, because I think we've gotten in this trap that even if we say, like, oh, I don't live to work, I work to live, we're still working on someone else's terms. And when we really ask ourselves the question, how do you want to make money to sustain the life that you want? That's not asking somebody, what do you want to do for work? And we don't ask the bigger question. Like, if you could make money doing what you just do every day, like, you're like, I wake up and I read all the news and I tell my friends about what's going on. Like, if you're a source person, you can make a living doing that. And most people don't know that there is a job or a need or an opportunity for just, like, who they are as an actual human, that they think they have to add things on to become valuable to the global marketplace. And you don't. Like, I love it when a client calls me and goes, I can't believe people are paying me and paying me this much money to do what I just do. I'm like, yeah, that's the secret. Like, that's the secret. And it's not about like working in your passion. It's almost like working in your default human mode.
No, but I mean, they say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you design a role for yourself and a business for yourself around what you just do very naturally and really love to do, because if you did it naturally, you didn't love to do it, why would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that sort of that zone of genius space, right? That space where you just operate at a pretty high level with a pretty natural level of effort. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And I think like we see it really clearly in modern culture with like home organizers. Like all these people went like, wait, I can organize your home and you'll pay me because my family's sick of me over-organizing this home. Like it became like, wait, that's a job. And I think that we need more people to like, because sometimes it's not like even what we love. Like it's so automatic that we would never put it on like, ooh, things that bring us joy. And you're just like, no, I do it automatically.
Right. So, okay. So maybe love's the wrong word. Maybe it's work that you really feel great about.
Yeah. Like you can't help yourself from doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a little obsessive. Maybe. Just
yes. Maybe yeah.
Just a touch. No, I love it. I, that's such a great example of the organizer. I really think that is exactly the idea, but it's the work that you do feel very natural doing.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you pleasure just in the practice of it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the work that you want to make a living doing because it's not hard work, but it actually adds a lot of value. So you can feel good about that. Cause I think we all want to work. We all want to do work that we feel has purpose and adds value. We want to do meaningful work. Right. So, you know, if you can do that and make a really great living at it, like bingo.
And everyone also makes it like once you start doing something and realizing that there's an opportunity in it, most people turn into little business coaches themselves being like, oh, well, I can do this. And what if I added that? And like, and you're like, yeah, like we are really good at making things more complicated, sometimes too much, but there's always room for more growth and more opportunity and adding more depth. Cause sometimes we get upset. Cause like how we're making money doesn't feel like it has depth. And you're like, hey, well, what would add depth to it? Like, how do you combine that into what you're already doing? You know, I have a couple of marketing consultants and like boutique agencies I coach with, and they're like, you know, okay, we're doing Instagram, we're doing the PR thing, we're doing this, but it feels a little empty. And I'm like, then go ask your clients to be deeper, broader partners so you can be more holistic. They're like, I can do that. I'm like, yeah, you can do literally whatever you want.
You know, isn't that interesting? Sometimes people just need permission, don't they?
I think it's probably 90% of my job.
Yeah. Just telling people you can do that.
Yeah.
I can. Yes. 100%. Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But having that sounding board, though, is like it changes everything.
It sure does. Mm-hmm. It sure does. And like shameless plug for coaching. If you don't have a coach or you've never experienced coaching and you've been curious about it, go and find the right fit for you. You got to make sure it's the right person. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's me and Kara. Find the right person. Find someone who's highly qualified. Make sure that it's not someone who just started coaching yesterday. You need someone with some background. But give it a shot because you're right. We can all use that reflection, that space to just be and brainstorm and feel what we need to feel and have the sounding board. And I always say, can't read the label from inside the bottle. Like you need someone to actually see you and reflect back to you who you truly are. Cause you can't see that accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and you mentioned earlier about having multiple coaches. And if you look at the most successful people in the world based on current cultural standards, they have like 10, they have a coach for every part, every element of what they're up to.
Yeah.
You can see it really clearly with an athlete, but that's true for any other area of excellence. If you're on TV, you probably have a voice coach. You probably have a stylist. You probably have someone doing your hair and makeup because no one should be trusted to do that on their own. Like, you've got someone helping you, like, brief you on the news that day. Like, you have someone I think a secret to success that we're not talking about is that to be more successful, you have to surrender more and allow everyone else to contribute to you in bigger ways. And that's what a coach does. And so the more that you give up control and you let people just tell you how you can get everything you want, it kind of starts to happen.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
That is, you know what? That was just beautifully articulated. That was really brilliant what you just said there.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. So Kara's taken my leadership style quiz, and we're going to talk about her leadership style next because she leads in a variety of ways. If you haven't had a chance to take the quiz yet and you're curious about your leadership style, there's a link in the show notes. You can also go to highvoltageleadership.ca. There's a little orange button at the top of the page. Hit the button, take the quiz. You can take it right now. It just takes a few moments and you can compare, see what kind of leadership you are compared to Kara. So tell us, what is your leadership style?
Well, of the four choices that you have, like for me, it's like I'm obviously a coach because I coach all day, every day. I've been coaching since I was a kid. My siblings will tell you it's really annoying. that's unsolicited coaching, which is not recommended unless you ask. And then one of my clients actually just created a new icon for me, which is the Della Gator. It's a little alligator.
Ah.
I'm supposed to be getting the tattoo soon. I got to a point where I don't know if delegating is part of my leadership style or if it's just something I become super skilled at. I think my natural tendency is like coach style, but I'm now known as this like super delegator.
I love it. But I think as coaches, we are sort of delegators because none of it belongs to us,
mm-mm.
Right? Like as coaches, we're really guides. And so we're kind of delegating it back to our clients share it with us. We talk it through, we make some observations, we ask some really powerful questions, and then we sort of delegate it right back to them. Like, okay, that's yours. Go get it.
Yeah.
Right? What's the work you need to do? Okay, when are you going to do it? How am I going to know it's done? I mean, so it actually kind of makes sense that the two would go together in that way.
Well, absolutely. And I think I'm actually going to be doing a workshop in May about delegating and briefing. Because to have teams that can help kind of be clones of ours and help replicate things at the speed we want, we have to be amazing delegators and start to be able to brief people properly.
Yeah.
And I realize that's one of my competitive advantages is that to make any product in the world, you have to create a design brief. You have to create a product brief. And that same brief format can be used for having anyone create anything else that you want that's in your brain. And it's so hard for people to delegate.
Yeah, it is. Especially because our businesses are kind of like our babies.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have so much passion and so much energy. And we put so much time and effort. We gave birth to these damn things that it does become tricky to stop touching it.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And that you kind of have to delegate or die. Like there's really not a lot of space in the middle. I love this. And this brings up something that we were sort of talking about before, which is there's really an inflection point in a business when it grows beyond our capacity to touch all of the things as business owners.
Yeah. I mean, I think of it as like bursting through the ceiling or like through a bubble. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you level up in a video game, just like in your business is the same way.
Yeah.
And there's an amazing stat that I love, which is in the US, the average small business earns about like one person small business earns around $48,000, $47,000 a year. That's their revenue total. That is all those people should call one of you or I immediately because that's, you can do much better than that. I promise, even by yourself.
100%.
But then if you add three people to your team, doesn't need to be employees, just add three people. So there's now four of you. the small business with four people involved is $400,000 a year in revenue.
Yeah.
You can 10X your business every time you add a person. Like, what?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think we need to give it away and start sharing the business as soon as possible, because every day that we're thinking we can do it by ourselves, we're not building the momentum that we need. And we're certainly not building it with freedom and ease in any capacity.
Amen. For real. Preaching to the converted. Mm-hmm. I think what I would add to that is that it's about adding the right people.
Yes.
You really have to be clear. And I mean, being someone who really works with business owners on their people strategy. We get a business plan. We got a marketing strategy. We got an operation strategy. Like, the one thing we really don't think clearly and build the right plan and execute on is the people. And I think you just nailed how important it is that we do that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, it's another clarity. It's what's the first thing that you need to delegate or to put together that brief. And so when you're putting together a brief to find your people, like someone once quoted at, it was either at one of our workshops or in a podcast episode of, like, you have, the best thing an entrepreneur can do is be really honest about themselves to themselves.
Yeah. And that's actually, it's the best thing. I think it's also one of the hardest.
For sure. we are, all those sharp edges, we tend to round them over when we're talking about ourselves to ourselves.
Well, or, yes, or the opposite. You know, we have that negative chatter in our head that tells us that we're not enough, right? So with both of those things maybe happening at different times or consecutively, God help us, it is really hard to see ourselves accurately and to really assess and get underneath not all the things that we should do, but again, the things that we do with ease and with style and with, you know, it's usually little effort.
Mm-hmm. Do the people you work with go crazy when they're working with you and they realize, oh my gosh, like, you just made it so obvious to me the wrong choices that I made?
Yes. 100%. And I would also say that I have had that moment with my own coach where I've been like, oh, great. I've totally been going in the wrong direction. Fantastic. Yeah. Wicked. Yeah. Okay. That was 6 months. Never mind. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. When you work with a coach, you at least uncover that faster.
Mm-hmm.
And you can re-vector more effectively. That's what I would add to that.
And have a partner to make a plan then.
Yeah.
Because when you realize that you've made the wrong turn, it's really easy to be like, I'm going to make a wrong turn and just go straight to having a cocktail. And maybe I should give up this business and go get a real job. And like, we go down that dark, scary alley by ourselves.
Yes.
It's real risky.
Yes. I'll just burn it down. I've had clients come to me and they're like, I'm just going to burn it down.
Yeah.
I burned down a business before. It'll be fine. I'm like, whoa, time out. Is that really necessary? Like, do we need to break out the pitchforks and the torches? Like, hold on a second. I have a feeling something might be salvageable here. And actually, in all of this, I just want to point out, the finger is pointing directly back at you.
Mm-hmm.
This could be triggering for some people. You are the reason your business is not as successful as you want it to be. If you think it's the vendor, if you think it's the market, if you think it's inflation, if you think it's the VA, it's not. It is you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time.
100%. The good news is you can easily fix that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how, you call one of us.
Yeah, we'll exactly. All of our information is in the show notes, but I love it. Okay. So I want to ask you though, what's a mistake that you've made along the way? And what did you learn from it? Because I think that's really valuable to share.
As a leader or just in general?
Just in general.
I feel like the bigger swings you're making, the more like mistakes you're also making along the way.
Yes.
I like a mistake that I regularly have to check myself with, despite how effectively I coach my people with it, is doing too many projects at once.
Yeah.
I'm such like my coach, my team will tell you, I always say one project at a time, one project at a time, one project at a time. Because in addition to projects that we're pivoting, launching, changing, we have all the maintenance stuff that we have to do anyway.
Yeah.
And like many entrepreneurs, I get bored really quickly and the ideas don't stop coming. And once I've told somebody what I want, I've already moved on. And I have to really rein myself in to be like, is that project finished? Can anyone buy it yet? We can't move on yet. So that's definitely a mistake I've made of like trying to push out too much. And not only is it a mistake for the things that aren't birthed yet, it's so bad from like distracting me from where I need to focus in regards to hitting the sales goals I already have. Mm-hmm. You know, like going back to your thing about teams, like if you don't have the right team members set up, if you don't have the right plan in place, it can feel like you can only make different parts of your business work if you're paying attention to them full time.
Yeah.
And it's a trap that's so easy to get caught up in. And I think failures I've made in my business are being in that loop where I'm like, okay, cool, we're crushing it with this one. Let me pivot to the next one. And I'm like, wait, like I took my eyes off that ball and now it's dropped.
Yeah.
And now I have to go back and fix it. And I'm like, oh, well, that tells me we're missing structures because I can't stare at everything the whole time.
No.
So having to go back and like really make sure those foundational sustainable elements are there has been something that I have to keep going back to myself of it's the only way to expand with sustainability.
I really love that. And I can appreciate that as someone who really coaches others around that, that's actually like hard to admit. So thank you for bringing that so openly to the show. Isn't that interesting, right? Sometimes the things that we focus on as coaches mm-hmm. and can be so powerful with others are the things we struggle with the most. I think that that's, yeah. I think that's actually par for the course, but I do love that. And I love that you went back to, you have to have the right people in the right places. You need to be clear. This is, so not only is this an elevation in your business, it's an elevation in your leadership.
Yeah. Like,
you have to level up. You need new superpowers mm-hmm. in the new level of your game. And then you really need to be able to understand who you have on your team, employee or contractor, and be very clear with them about the accountability and the outcomes that you want to see. And then spend time with them. Become their coach, grow that next level of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's what becomes really key as your business grows. You're growing more leaders and visioning and, you know, creating too, but it becomes so key.
Well, because you can't be in more than one place at one time.
Mm-mm.
Like the only way I can be on this podcast with you right now is because I have other people doing other things that are keeping the other balls moving forward.
Right.
Like before we hit record, we were talking about that ceiling I'm at right now where I'm like hitting it. Like, I feel like the balloon, I'm like hitting it. I'm like, okay, when am I going to actually break through? I know it's coming. And a theme that's been showing up across so many of my clients right now, because a lot of people are in this expansion mode.
Yeah.
All of us, what's showing up for us, they're all the ways we haven't set up expectations for people to rise and meet us. Where we like have had about maybe a boundary thing or not, or we haven't coached them or have clarity or we're not, we have to go to this next level. You have to be the next level leader before you have your next level business. And so all of that showing up right now where it's like, wait, why is no one showing up for me? And why am I getting mad at everyone? And it's like, well, because now you get to be next level leader. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's really well articulated. You have to be a next level leader to have a next level business. And you also have to have a next level strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The breath test is not good enough. Just because they have a pulse doesn't mean they get to work for you. But when you next level your team, they are going to have a next level expectation from you.
Mm-hmm.
They want clarity. They want accountabilities. They also want ownership, and they want coaching and follow-up and structure.
Mm-hmm.
And they want programs. They want to know they're going to get a performance review. They want to know they're going to get a bonus if this goes. And they, so you have to be ready to have that level of structure in your business to support those people. That's really key.
Well, and it's everything in life is a game. And we don't always tell people when the game changed.
Like you,
and it sounds so obvious, but we're like, oh no, like we're now playing water polo. We're not playing basketball anymore. And you're like, did you tell your team? Do you have the equipment? Did you rent the pool? Like,
yeah,
just because like, and this is, I think, is a very common of a stereotypical entrepreneur. If they've already gone in their head to the next game, like there's a delay in telling everyone else like that what's happening. And so that having those had some boundaries or check marks in place to be like, wait, did I tell everyone? Do we have the equipment? Can this show up? Like it that's where I think we can get ourselves into some trouble too. And you also like, who wants to play the game with you? Like, did you ask?
Yeah. Are they, if they still want to play water polo and you've gone to play basketball, then you're probably going to have some new team.
Yeah.
But I think you bring up such a beautiful point, and it's one that I make over and over again, is your job as your business grows is to become a CEO. And one of the most important things you do as a CEO is set the vision.
Yeah.
That's what your job becomes, is articulating that. What game are we playing now? What level are we at in that game? Who needs to be on the team?
Mm-hmm.
You become the GM. And it is so key that you are clearly able to tell the story and bring that vision to life. Enroll others in that vision. Help them see themselves in that vision. That is an important, not to touch all the pieces. So you're really moving from the tactical to the strategic in a very meaningful way. And that is not easy. And I see, and I know you see it too, Kara, you know, small business owners that really get stuck because they don't know how. That's okay. Yeah. There's people like us out there to help you do that.
Yeah. Not knowing how is never a reason not to start or not to ask or not to start talking to people.
Yeah.
Going back to the delegating part, what I popped in my head when you were talking about, like, is everyone playing the game with you? One of the simplest changes that I made to my team that made a big impact is we created scoreboards, literally.
Yeah.
And suddenly the whole team was like, oh, that's the game we're playing in that pillar. Okay, now I know how to contribute. And I'm like, that's all we needed? This dumb Excel sheet? Yeah. Okay, I like dumb Excel sheets. Let's go. Where do we need another one?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it's usually not.
But it does have to be clear. It has to be very clear, and not just clear to you, clear to them. If you want them to get on board and to do their best work, it's got to be meaningful for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Oh my gosh. I mean, we could just talk about this for days.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate that you run a busy, growing business. And I really appreciate you being a guest on the show. You've just said so many brilliant things today. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome. Getting to spend time with you is a joy. And it's so good for me to be around fellow coaches who are rising and, you know, just kicking butt, just to remember that we're not alone. Like we need to phone a friend sometimes. So I'm glad that you're on that list.
I am always on that list. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. I sure hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did hosting this conversation. And if you did enjoy today's episode, would you do me a favor? Would you give the episode a 5-star review and share it with all of your friends? I would really appreciate that. I've got a goal to impact 1,000 female founders, and with your help, we can really amplify this message. Thanks again for being a part of the show, and don't forget to connect with me and all of my guests on Instagram @HighVoltLeadership.
We'll see you next Friday.